share in the Word of God, and then those that are here, we'll take some time at the end, share some prayer requests, and pray together. But right now, let's go to Romans chapter 5 in your Bibles, please. Romans chapter 5, great, great doctrinal book of the Bible on the doctrine of salvation. And I want to look at a few verses here tonight and give an emphasis tonight. I don't know if I'm going to preach to you tonight or do Bible study. I'm not sure yet. I hardly ever know how it's going to turn out, to be honest with you. But I'm going to start out Bible study. I'm going to say that. We're just going to look at some verses here and learn some things on the blessings of justification. And we'll look at that subject tonight. And I hope it'll help you and remind you of some things, but also bless your heart. Let's look here at Romans 5, let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, let me just point this out. He says that a few times, a couple more times he'll say not only so, or he'll say much more. It's almost like Paul is just saying, oh, and by the way, here's something else. You know, oh, that's good, but on top of all that, we got this too. You ever get excited and, you know, he's excited about what he's talking about. So he's like, and not just that, let me tell you about this too. All right, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm going to stop right there. I meant to stop at verse 5, but I could keep going. Just a lot of good verses here. Amen. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about the blessings of justification. So he says there in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, the meaning of justification is something that's very important that we need to know. It's an interesting study. Again, this is one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible. Folks, that you have been justified in the sight of God. Made righteous is what that means. You have been made righteous. When God looks at you, He doesn't see a sinner anymore. He sees a saint. You have been made just. You've been made righteous. You have been made holy in the sight of God. You say, I don't feel like a saint. Well, I hope you feel like you're saved. Amen. And if you're saved, you are a saint in the sight of God. Because nothing sinful gets into heaven, right? You say, well, I am sinful. Well, right now, you still got a sinful nature, but you also have the new nature in Christ. And the fact that you have been justified means that you can and will go to heaven, right? So God is holy. We know this. God is holy. God is pure. God is perfect. Jesus Christ was the only, He was the ideal man, right? He was the only man that could fulfill the Old Testament law of God. You know, if you can keep the law of the Old Testament, you can go to heaven by your own good works. But you know that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen for anybody. Nobody can do that. And we're born into sin anyway. But Jesus Christ was virgin born. He was the Son of God. And He fulfilled the law. God is righteous and holy. But woe is us. We're depraved. We're evil. We're wicked. We're sinful. We're sinners. We sin because we're sinners. You say, preacher, that's kind of harsh. No, that's the Bible. Amen. Compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to God who is holy and righteous, folks, justification is necessary. Because we're sinful, right? We got to know that. We understand that. We're not going to argue with God about that. We know that we've sinned and we've done the wrong things. But aren't you glad tonight that God has made a way for you to be declared just in His sight? Justified. You know, the old way of saying that is it's just if I'd never sinned before. Justified. That's a good way to remember it, right? Justified. Just if I'd never sinned before. That's the way God sees it, because God washed your sin away. We sang about it already tonight, right? The blood washed our sins away. Amen. And he has cleansed us. He has erased our record, our old sinful record. He has cleansed that. He has got rid of that. So we're not justified tonight. The Bible makes it clear. We're not justified by what we do. We're not justified by our own good deeds, because in the sight of God, we have none. Our good deeds are as filthy rags before God, right? Chapter 3, by the way, of this book makes it clear there's none righteous, no, not one. All we have sinned to come short of the glory of God, right? So we know this is true. It's not by our good means. But the word justified, it means this. It means to count, to credit, to reckon, to consider us righteous. God reckons you. God declares you, if you will, to be righteous. Sin's gone. As far as the east is from the west, your sins have been removed. Amen? Buried in the deepest sea, washed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your wicked account, as many sins as were there, the blood of Jesus Christ has erased that board right there. Amen? It's a white board, and it's gone. Your sins are gone, right? And the Lord took our faith, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but He took our faith and swapped our sins. I'll get to that here in just a minute. So He declares us, in spite of our sinfulness and our ungodliness, He declared us righteous. All right, the meaning of it is we're considered righteous. Now, the source of justification, 100% God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do to forgive ourselves. Nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous in God's sight. Nothing we can do to save ourselves. Now, that's doctrinal. You know, you tell people today, hey, you know you're a sinner, you need to be forgiven. People get upset about that. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I try to be a good person. I think I'll make it to heaven. I think I'm, you know, good enough. Well, you haven't read the Bible. You haven't read the Bible at all. Salvation is of God and none of us. Amen? There's nothing we can do. All right, you know what, folks? As a Christian tonight, that ought to make you appreciate grace that much more. The grace of God. Because we were hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners, but He declared us righteous. The source of it is God, not ourselves. He loved us so much. Verse 8 tells us here that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Amen, right? He made a way. Jesus paid the penalty. What penalty? Well, the wages of sin is death. The death penalty was upon us. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, was sent to this earth to live that holy, pure, righteous life, fulfill the whole law, and then go to the cross and paid your sin debt and mine. That's how we're justified. The source of justification is God, 100%, not us. So it was totally necessary, or else you and I would be lost in our sins forever. It's totally necessary. There's no other way to get this done. So let's talk about this. How about the channel of justification? And that is simply, He said, therefore, being justified by faith. No other means, no other method, no other source, nothing else we can do. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They asked Paul, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, shouldn't I go to church for about 50 years? Would that help get me saved? No, you ought to do that after you get saved. Amen? Well, what if I give some money and I try to do some good things? Don't try to help Jesus out. He's the Savior, not you or me. Amen? We can't help the Lord out on this thing. He's the Savior, okay? He's the source, but the channel for it is our faith in the Lord. Now, someone has said this, when a man believes on Jesus Christ, God takes that man's faith and counts it, remember that's the definition, counts it as righteousness. It's a total spiritual swap, an exchange. You give me your faith, and I'll give you the righteousness of Christ. You accept my Son, I'll accept you. We're just saying about the family of God. Amen? You accept my Son, I'll accept you as my Son. You become a child of God. What's the channel? Just faith. Well, what do I do? Just trust Jesus. He did all the work on the cross. Amen. He did it in his perfect life, but he paid for our sins in his death so that you and I don't have to go to hell and pay for it forever. Is there a better bargain in the world? There's not, is there? Just, that's the exchange. I put my faith in him, and then he takes that righteous, pure, holy account of Jesus and credits that to my account. Wow. Nothing better than that right there. You're a saint tonight. God looks at you, he sees the blood. God looks at you, he sees Jesus. God looks at you, he sees a perfect record. Not yours or mine, Jesus. Amen. We're going to heaven because of that. That's the channel right there, is that exchange. And then what's the guarantee of justification? It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He took the fear and the sting out of dying for the Christian, right? And the fact that he rose again is like the guarantee. He lives forever. Amen. He's eternal. He died on the cross. He resurrected. He went back to heaven. He'll live forever. And as long as Jesus lives, you have eternal life, right? You'll live as long as he does. You have eternal life. The guarantee of our future resurrection is the fact that he already resurrected. And now he will resurrect us when the time comes. Amen. So you know, all of our troubles, if you will, our sins, have just been erased. So he says, therefore, when he opens it up, therefore, what is therefore? Therefore means everything that Paul said, everything I've been saying up to this point, he's been building his case. It's a doctrinal treatise on salvation. And then he says, therefore, being justified by faith. And then he goes on to describe some things that we have. And I said I want to talk about the blessings of justification. We just explained it all in our introduction there. But let's talk about this, number one, tonight. First thing he mentions that we have is this, peace with God. Amen. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, that's everything we just talked about, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't the Bible say Jesus is the mediator between God and man? He's the one that reconciled us to God. Adam's the one that unreconciled us. Adam's the one that put a barrier between us and God. Jesus, Romans talks about, he's the second Adam. He's the one that came to make it all right. He's the one that came to take God's hand and our hand and bring them together, right? By faith, we're reconciled unto God. And then we have peace with God. So he says, therefore, based on everything he's been talking about, this is all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And he said a result, first is peace with God. Now, you say, what about the peace of God? Well, that's a real thing too. Thank God for peace, the peace of God. But that's not what he's talking about right now. He's talking about peace with God. That's important, because see, before we weren't at peace with God, we were at enmity with God, right? We were enemies with God. We were not at peace with God. Now, once you get the peace with God, then you can have the peace of God. But it's more than just a feeling here of you know, serenity. It's more than just a smooth emotion that I have peace in my heart, the peace of God, but right now we're at peace with God is what it's talking about. So it means that you're no longer at odds with him. You're no longer his enemy. The barrier is gone between you and God. And verse 10, if you look at verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His renewed life, his resurrected life, right? But you see, he said there, we were enemies, now we're reconciled to God, right? Therefore, we're no longer enemies, but we're at peace with God. You ever had an enemy and you and the enemy made up and let bygones be bygones and peace came into the relationship? I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not. I hope you have. If you had somebody that didn't like you and you reached out to them and y'all patched things up maybe, and you know, peace came into the relationship. Well, this is the best place to have peace, and that's peace with God Almighty. Amen. Because we were under the wrath of God. Remember that? We were under the judgment of God. Because we were enemies of God. Now we have peace with God. Folks, we can now be free from judgment, accepted in Jesus, welcomed into heaven. Why? We're at peace with God now. You can lay down at night and say, all is well between my soul and the Savior. There's nothing between. We've sang that song before, right? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. We're at peace now. I have peace, he says, with God. Now, peace with God. No longer is he painting a picture of you being against God or God's wrath abiding on you. No, all that's gone. And a blessing of being justified, sins erased and gone, that barrier gone, a blessing of that is that you're now at peace with God, which, by the way, leads to the peace of God into your life. So you can now have fellowship with God, and you can have that father-child relationship that you didn't have before. You're born into the family while you're at peace with God, all right? Let's look at this second. Number two is this. Let's talk about our position in Christ. Now, he says in verse 2 there, by whom, that is Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace, look at this phrase, wherein we stand. That's your position. Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand? You ever said to somebody, you know, where do you stand with me? Do you stand with me? Where do we stand? What's our status here? What's our relationship here? Are we on the same page? Are we at odds or what? No, now with God, you have a position of standing in grace. You're no longer stooping in fear. You're no longer running in fear. You're now standing with God, beside God, following the Lord. Amen. You know, that's why Matthew 11, Jesus talked about, take my yoke upon you. You are now in the yoke, side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're standing. Now, notice you're standing in grace, by the way. That's the only way it can happen, right? You know, the temple veil was rent when Jesus died. Remember that? He said access. Didn't he say access in that verse? We have access. We have standing with God now. We now can go boldly to the throne of grace because we stand in grace, right? If you're not saved, you know, people debated this for years. Does God hear the prayers of a lost person? You know, I always say the first prayer God's going to hear is the prayer of repentance, confession. Lord, save my soul. Forgive me my sins. Because that's when the relationship begins, right? And I'm not going to argue with anybody over that about, you know, but there ain't a whole lot of praying going on if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not real praying, right? But when you stand in grace, you can go boldly to the throne of grace. There's no fear now. You say, you don't have any fear. Right? You're not. You have the fear of God, but you're not afraid to go talk to Him. You understand that? The fear of God is something we ought to have. The fear of God, the reverence of God, we ought to have. The awe of God, we ought to have. But yet, you just feel like a child. You can just walk right into your dad's office and talk, right? And He welcomes us all the time. Amen. Go boldly into the throne of grace. Why? Because your standing is in grace. Your position tonight is to stand with God, before God, beside God, walking with God in grace. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Peace with God. Your position. Number three, I'll say this. How about the prospect of hope? The prospect of hope. Now, in verse 2, he says that we stand, where this grace wherein we stand. And look what he said at the end of verse 2. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice. Well, that's a part of being justified. In hope of the glory of God. I think he's got in mind here our prospect of heaven. I don't know if that's a good word, prospect, but it's a sure thing. Amen. That's what the word hope means. It's a sure thing. You know, with the world, hope means I hope it'll happen. I wish this thing would happen. I have a desire. I want this thing to happen. But you know, with the Christian, the word hope, it's a knowledge. It's an assurance. It's a sure thing. It's a confidence. The blessed hope, Bible hope of heaven. It's an anticipation. Well, I hope the weather will be okay. You know, my preference is I really wish the weather was this or that, whatever. But my hope in heaven is not like that. My hope in heaven is I'm looking forward to it. The hope of rejoicing in the hope of glory. Hey, do you know the Bible talks about a streets of gold? There's a street of gold. I had a guy years ago, he used to always correct me on that. There's a street. I was like, okay, fine. My street might have gold too. I don't know. We'll see. Well, my mansion and my address, it might have gold too. Okay, one street. All right, we won't argue over that. But a street of gold's pretty awesome. The hope of glory that I rejoice in is I'm going to go up there and figure it all out, and I'm going to see it all. I'm going to survey it one day, and I'm going to live there forevermore. Man, I wish that would happen. No, I know that's going to happen. That's the hope that the believer has. That's the blessed hope. It's based on the promise of the Lord that we have this hope in the Lord. So it's not something that we wish would happen. It's something we know is going to happen. You know our problem, though, folks? It's losing our sense of this hope. He'll talk about it in a minute, but you know, sometimes we experience troubles, we experience trials, we experience our own sinful nature, and you know, sometimes that messes with our hope. We lose a grip on that blessed hope. Sin might come into your life. The devil might knock you around. And the devil will say, you don't even, look, I don't think you're saved at all. You get to doubting your salvation. Next thing you know, you're not rooted in hope anymore. You're discouraged. You're defeated. You're distracted with the things of this world, right? The devil loves to mess with your hope. But I want to tell you, if you get back in the Word of God and on the promises of God, you can get rooted in that hope again, right? And you know that you're standing on the solid ground, the solid rock, and not the sands of this world. Not the sinking sands of this world. So when things go wrong, we begin to slip back into that. We begin to gripe. We begin to complain. We begin to say, woe is me. And we forget about the blessed hope. It's a sure thing. We're going to heaven, amen? He says to rejoice in your tribulations, even. He talked about that. Even in your troubles, even in your trials. Why? Because you've got this assurance. Real Bible hope is a confidence and a knowledge and an assurance, not a wish. Now, he talks about the Holy Ghost here, which is given unto us. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you that. He wants to give you that assurance. The devil's the one playing with your mind, trying to knock you off your assurance. Because whenever you're not sure of your salvation, you're not going to be a very good witness to other people. You know, I used the phrase a little while ago, evangelicals. That's what they call the Christian world. And I heard some people talking about that very thing. I listened to this podcast, and they were talking about evangelicals, and one of them, you know, made the comment. He said, well, we call ourselves evangelicals, but I wonder how evangelistic we really are. That's something to think about. Oh, we're evangelicals. We debate over that. Are we evangelicals or are we fundamentalists, Bible believers and all that? Now, he's talking about the Christian group, okay? He's talking about the Christians here. We're not going to argue over those labels, but, sometimes we're not very evangelistic because we've lost sight of our hope. We haven't set our affections on things above, we've set our affections on things below. And boy, that rocks and shatters and shakes our faith and our hope. And that's what the devil will do to us, right? Folks, let's get back to that hope, that prospect of hope. The hope, rejoicing in the hope of glory. Amen? Your prospect of hope. You still planning to go to heaven, folks? Amen? You still planning to go? You hadn't changed your mind, right? Well, God hadn't changed His mind either. He said He's going to save you. He's going to keep His word. Amen. I told you the other night, the fellow told me that years ago, he told me that he had a whole bunch of good books that he knew I liked. And he said, when I die, you can get them. And he's told me this over the years. It's kind of a running joke. Well, for over 20 years, he kept his word. I've got all those books. I don't know what I'm going to do with them now, but I got them. So I'm like, I'm amazed this guy for over 20 years kept his word, you know. And I got those books. I may have to share them with y'all. I don't know what I'm going to do with some of these books. He's up in heaven now, but I'm going to tell him, man, I could have used them 20 years ago. I don't need them now. I'm an old guy, you know. I mean, I could have used them books 20 years ago. Most of them I've bought myself since then, you know. But anyway, I'm kidding. But I was honored to get them, and thank God I got them. Not that I really need them, or now they're duplicates. But anyway, no, that was nice of him. But he kept his word. Well, if he can keep his word on something like that, I ain't too worried about the Lord whether he'll keep his word on this hope that he's promised to us. If he kept his word over 20 years on giving me some books, he told me, you know, when I die, he was 87, by the way, when he passed. He kept his word. Well, 2,000 years, the Lord's kept his word. I believe he's coming back. That's our hope. Amen. I believe we got a place up in heaven. That's our hope. I believe it. Amen. Don't you? Why? Because we've been justified by faith. Our sins are gone, and we're going to heaven. Amen. And the Lord's going to help us. So the blessings of justification, there's peace with God. There's our position that we're standing in grace. There's that prospect. Let me talk about this. Number four, the product of being justified. Now, verses 3 and 4 are interesting verses here. He says, and not only so, hey, we got more than that. He says, but we glory in tribulations also. Wow, we do. Paul did. Why? Knowing, here's that word, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You ever feel like Job? Does tribulation work patience and you're waiting on God? Well, what good does that do me, preacher? And patience, experience. While you're waiting, you go through a lot of stuff, you get experience. And experience, hope. Back to hope. One commentator put it like this: the patience which develops from opposition develops experience, and from that reservoir comes the basis of future hope. The loop has been completed. We are back to where we began in verse 2. We're rejoicing in hope again. Oh, you've been through a lot of stuff in that couple of verses right there. Your patience and your experience. How old are you tonight? I'm not, you know, don't answer me, but you know, you ladies aren't going to answer me tonight, but how old are you? Well, how old are you in the Lord? How long have you been walking with God? Have you gone through some experiences? Have your experiences developed hope? By the way, the word, developed patience. You, these words right here have the idea of character, integrity, strength. You know what the product of it is? You know what the product of justification is? It's your spiritual growth in Christ. You know, the Lord is producing some things in you. You say, I'm justified, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I don't know why I'm going through all this trouble and trial, though. Because, get this, folks, peace with God and peace of God does not mean absence of trouble. Doesn't mean that at all. But it means you're going to have the Lord's presence in your trouble. And the Lord's going to go through those valleys with you. The Lord's going to hold your hand in those storms. And it's going to produce patience. It's going to produce experiences that you go through. It's going to build your faith. And it's going to circle back around to your hope is still rooted in Jesus. Amen. That's the product of being justified. Aren't you glad? Not as others, by the way, which have no hope. Hey, we have hope in Christ. Amen. Amen. We're the ones who do have hope in Christ. Why? Because we're talking about the blessings of being justified. Justified. You say, preacher, is that another word for I'm saved? Yes, it is. You mean I got saved, I got justified? Yes. One and the same. Yes. You mean I'm forgiven? Yes, same thing. You mean I'm in Christ now? Yes, same thing. All these words mean you're saved and going to heaven. And in the meantime, the Lord's, like Joseph and Job, the Lord's building your faith as you go with Him and walk with Him side by side and stand in grace. The Lord's right there helping you through it all. While, all the while, He's preparing your place up there in heaven. Well, it's pretty good being justified. Amen. Being saved. I like being saved. Amen. Don't you like being saved? Amen. You circle back around, he said. You come right back to where you started, which is back to that hope again. That rejoicing in hope. By the way, you know what? The world, you know lost people have trouble too. Lost people have trouble. They have trials. They have problems. But you know what? We gain from ours. spiritually. We gain experience with the Lord. We gain patience with the Lord. We grow in our faith through our troubles and trials. What do? They have no hope at all. If it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know how to get through it. Oh, I don't know how people get through it without the Lord. Right? Well, you get through it with Him. And your hope is stronger. So the product of being justified is that you're just growing in the Lord all the time. Peace, position, prospect, product. Let's talk about this one. Here's number 5. The power of being justified. Now, what's the power? Verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed because, look at this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, the Holy Spirit is the earnest, the down payment. You've got a little bit of heaven on earth because you've got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God in your soul right now. Amen. The Lord said, I'm going to give you a little bit of this now. I'm going to go ahead and put the Holy Spirit in there, the comforter, the one that will help you and guide you and strengthen you and be with you and give you my peace and presence. And one day you're going to have it fully in heaven. But the power comes from the Holy Spirit. The power comes from the love of God. He said, it's shed abroad in your hearts. You know, we were preaching on that the other day with the church in Thessalonica. Why? He said, I don't even need to teach you to love each other. You're taught of God to love each other. How? The Holy Spirit put the love of God, shed it abroad in your hearts. Why do you care about other lost people? The love of God's been put in your soul. Amen? Why do you care about your brothers and sisters going through troubles and trials? The love of God put it in your soul, right? The power of this thing is that the Holy Ghost has been given unto us. We're not left here to go through these troubles and trials by ourselves. Amen? When He justified us, you're now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, right? So He gives you everything you need. But you notice He also said in verse 5, look at verse 5 again, the hope maketh not ashamed. Now, you know, the hope this world has is often a disappointing experience. Because it's a wish. They're literally, I hope that'll happen. I hope this will work out. I hope that person keeps their word. I hope that person pays me like they said they would. I hope my company doesn't go bankrupt this week. And you know, somewhat, sometimes their hope gets disappointed and gets shaken and shattered, and their dreams shattered and fall apart. You know, sometimes hope in this world is disappointing. It'll lie to this world. It'll lie to this world. Brother Tripp told me, by the way, he pastored up in Ohio one time. Now, he's a southern guy. He's a North Carolina guy. But he told me this. He said, when I was in Ohio, he said, people say they're more rude up in Ohio and we're nicer down here in the South. Amen. Y'all believe that? He said, but I'll tell you another difference I learned. He said, down here in the South, they'll lie to your face. Up North, they'll just tell you like it is. He told me this. He said, man, down here, I'd say, you going to come to church Sunday? Oh, yeah, preacher, I'll see you Sunday. He said, they ain't planning to come. They're lying. He said, I get my hope built up. I think that guy will come. He said, he'll come this week. He wasn't ever planning to come. He said, but I found out up north, he said, they just hurt my feelings. I said, no, I'm not going. He said, I come to learn to appreciate the bluntness, you know? Now, that's not real popular down here to talk about, I guess. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Southerners just smile and laugh. So just look at you and say, I'll be there, you know. I've had those promises. Anyway, let's get off of that. But what I'm getting at is this. You get your hopes built up sometimes, and it turns out to be a lie in this world. But hope maketh not ashamed when it comes to God. Okay, can we get back to that? I tell you what. I told a guy the other day that, well, if I'm wrong, it's okay. But if you're wrong, you know how we say that sometimes. If I'm wrong about God, and it's not going to hurt anything if I'm wrong. It's going to hurt a lot if you're wrong because you're going to hell. Well, guess what, folks? This hope that you have in heaven, you're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to hang your head and say, oh my goodness, God lied. Oh my goodness, it didn't happen. Folks, this hope that we have in Christ will never be disappointed. It's not a lie. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to be in shame saying, oh man, I bought into this whole Christianity thing and it turned out to be a lie. Not going to happen with God. Amen? Right? Not going to happen. And I understand, by the way, I've said all that stuff too. Don't get me wrong. That's not a bad argument. But what I'm getting at is there's no if about it. There's no if about this thing. I'm glad this hope that I'm telling people, hey, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. And I'm not going to have to say one day, oh man, I'm sorry, I was wrong about that. You know, this hope maketh not ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed to tell people about Jesus. We don't have to be ashamed to tell people, I've got a mansion up in heaven. There's streets of gold. There's gates of pearls. We're not going to be ashamed of this. This kind of hope right here, why? Because the power of it is the earnest, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, heaven in your soul right now. Is a little down payment of what's to come. What a wonderful truth that is. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. That's a song. That's a hymn if you didn't recognize me just reading it. The blessings of justification. There was a group of tourists that were going to go through a coal mine, and one lady showed up. She'd been off doing all kinds of stuff that day, and she had to be there at a certain time. She didn't have time to go change. She shows up, and she's in this really nice white dress, and people are like, you're going in the coal mine with a white dress? Oh, yeah, I didn't have time to change. I guess it'd probably be okay. I don't think you should do that. And she asked the guide, is it okay if I go in there with this white dress? He says, well, you're going to go in with a white dress, but you ain't coming out with a white dress. You know, it kind of makes me think of, you know, the innocence of Adam in the garden up until Genesis chapter 3, when the blackness of sin came and put a stain on mankind. Until Jesus came, the blood of Jesus washed us white as snow. I mean, the Bible says that. You say, I don't understand that. Well, the Bible says in Revelation that these are they which came out of great tribulation have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You say, I don't understand those colors. Red makes white. He washed our sins away. You're made clean and white and justified by the blood of Jesus. That's the whole point. And the robe of righteousness that the Lord will put on you when you get to heaven. But you know what, folks? Right now, the Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the old man, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know you're wearing that white robe of righteousness right now? That's part of your position. When God looks at you, He doesn't see what you're wearing right there, right now. He sees that white robe of righteousness that was made white and clean. And the blackness of sin gone because you were justified by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank God for it. Are you glad tonight for the blessings of justification? I hope you are. Let's bow our heads tonight and think about this. Contemplate this in your heart tonight. And thank God for the truths of what we've been talking about here tonight. Dear Father,